This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We wish you a warm welcome from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Do you have a deep craving in your life that cannot be filled? A craving that refuses to be satisfied with anything you, yourself, have tried? Well, stay with us as we talk in today's message about one of the reasons why Jesus came to this earth, to give us life.
Do you remember that old song from the 60s by Peggy Lee? "Is that all there is?" she asked. I keep running into people that are asking that same sort of question even today. And that's what we're going to take a look at during our time together in our worship. Stay with us. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful Father, we give you thanks this day for another day of living, another opportunity to enjoy you and all the blessings that you give us. As we study your word, open our eyes to once again behold the wonders of your love and grace. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, when angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the
reading for today is taken from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 1. Just to give you a little setting, Jesus is talking with some Pharisees and people who are curious about him after Jesus healed a blind man. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens a gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize the stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Here ends the reading.
The King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. Perverse and foolish oft I stray, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently lay, and home rejoicing brought me. In death's dark veil I will not fear, with thee, dear Lord, my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me.
Thou spreadst a table in my sight, thine unction grace bestoweth, and oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice goeth.
And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good Shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. Good Shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house.
Dear friends, I have a confession to make to you. I am a real snacker. Every evening after dinner, it doesn't take long before you will find me nosing around the kitchen, looking around for that something to satisfy my craving. Might be a little chocolate, might be some nuts or chips, a cookie. I just can't stop, it seems like some nights. My wife tells me I have a real problem with being a snacker. There's something inside of me that just is looking for something to satisfy. And it'll sometimes go right on until almost bedtime. I find that there are people in this world that are a lot like me when it comes to living out their lives. There's a deep craving within the human spirit, and they're looking for something to satisfy, to make them feel full. And so they nibble around and try to find something to satisfy that something inside of them. Typically, they don't find it, it seems like, on their own. And oftentimes, it can lead to a lot of danger and destruction in their lives. I recently came upon a story about a National Football League player named Junior Seau, who was well known as a passionate, fist-pumping, emotional leader, superstar for his team, the San Diego Chargers. In his 13 years as a pro football player, he made the Pro Bowl 12 times. He was also selected to the NFL 1990s All-Decade Team. But sadly, On May 2nd, at the age of 43, Junior took his own life. His death in northern San Diego County stunned the community, who absolutely adored him for his service and his great personality. In an interview later on with Sports Illustrated, his former friend and teammate, Rodney Harrison, explained that in So's last days, he was desperately searching for peace in his life. Harrison said, "Junior would tell me that the only time he truly felt at peace with life was when he was with his children or out surfing. He would say, 'When I'm on those waves, it's the greatest feeling. I have no worries, no stress, no problems. I just forget about everything.'" Junior was always searching for peace. There are a lot of people like that in this world today. I have been in my congregation and some of my counseling, seeing more and more teenagers who are quite unhappy with life, and they have a strange thing that they do to themselves. They take a razor and cut themselves, maybe put a word on their forearm like empty or some sort of a symbol. And I've read a little bit about that it's a sign of deep inside unhappiness. Kids that are angry or trying to figure things out for their lives. Again and again, we run into people that are looking for something to crave that thing that's crying out for satisfaction that is deep within them. Sometimes it can be easy to actually nibble ourselves to death looking for it. We just celebrated Christmas a few weeks ago, and according to the one who came down to us, Jesus, he tells us the reason for his coming in this passage that I read for you earlier today. He said, "The thief and the robber comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." Now keep in mind, he's in the middle of a talk about himself with these Pharisees and other onlookers as to who he is. He describes himself in this passage as a good shepherd who provides and protects for his sheep, for those who follow. He promises, "If you follow me, my sheep are going to find the pasture that they need that will satisfy them. They will find confidence and security in their coming in and their going out. No matter what they face in life, even walking through the valley of the shadow of death," as the psalmist says in Psalm 23, he says, "I'll be with them, looking out for them. I'll be that gate that protects them at night when we bring them into the pen." Again and again, in this little passage, we see that Jesus has come to give life, life that is abundant or to the full, satisfies. Isn't it interesting that our Lord Jesus was born in a town called Bethlehem? Did you know that the word Bethlehem actually means house of bread? And later on, this child would grow up and say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will neither hunger nor thirst." We also, later on in this chapter, as he's talking about his job as the shepherd, said, "As I'm watching over you, nothing will snatch you from my hand. You're mine forever." I have a couple friends that have just celebrated what probably will be their last Christmases with their families. The prognosis is not too good for them. They've gone through all their chemo treatments and the cancer continues to eat away at them. This particular promise of the shepherd is very, very meaningful to them, you see, because they're sheep. Sheep that followed that good shepherd, Jesus. And they know that when they take their last breath in this world, they are going to awake looking into the face of their Savior, Jesus Christ, in the next. And so Jesus says, "I've come to be the good shepherd that really can give you that life that you are so busy nibbling around looking for. How's he going to do that? Well, you perhaps know what eventually happened. He told them what's going to happen. In fact, in this passage, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I laid down my life for the sheep. He's going to lay down his life for the sins of sinful sheep like you and me, who are helpless in our sinfulness. We all have this deep ingrained problem within us called sin. We sometimes try to think that we're fairly good people, and we do that as we compare ourselves with others that we know are worse than ourselves. We don't really like to compare ourselves with Jesus, otherwise we find ourselves feeling less than adequate. I was reminded, though, of our need as sinners, as sheep that are lost in their sin. Recently, when I was in the Holy Land with my wife, Julie, the congregation had sent us there for a 25-year anniversary gift for our time spent at Shepherd of the Valley. And one of the low points of that little trip was our visit to Bethlehem. As you drive into Bethlehem, you're aware of the great tension that exists between the Palestinian and the Israeli as you go through the checkpoints. And as you Bethlehem is a Palestinian town now, and they're walled in by the Israelis. As you go to the into the town, it's not a pretty place to visit. And they took us to this little Church of the Nativity. Not really all that little, I guess, but they ushered us into, like a bunch of sheep, into this church where we saw a lot of other sheep-like characters that were standing in line to go downstairs to look at the place where it had been designated as the place where Christ was born. In the stable. So as we waited and waited and waited, we waited almost 3 hours. We saw humanity at its worst. As people were pushing and shoving and getting angry with one another, our Palestinian guide ended up getting in a bit of a tussle with some Ukrainians that were trying to butt in ahead of us. And I saw people just literally trying to run around the line and force their way in up at the front. By the time we got down to that manger, I thought to myself, now I know why Jesus had to come. Even these people who supposedly have tasted his grace still have this deep thing within them, that's selfish and ego-driven and wanting to get in and get out and get on with things at work in their lives. It's for people such as this, as myself, because I found myself a little angry too, that Jesus said, I came to lay down my life for you so that you could have forgiveness for that sin, so that you could be cleaned up within. And as you receive him, be seen by God as his son or his daughter. He laid down his life so that I could have a new life with my heavenly Father. And one thing that we hear again and again from people such as yourselves that are listening in, as people write in letters and so on, or I run into people, is that when you say yes to him, you discover that not only is it a life that's beautiful, but it's a wonderful life. Some people have said, without really getting to examine it, that Christianity is boring. I don't think those disciples, according to the way I read the Gospels anyway, were ever found a moment in which they were bored being with Jesus. Something was very attractive and exciting about him, and as they lived out their years with him. I've discovered for myself, the more I try to follow his lead, the more exciting life can actually get as you stand up for him and let your light shine for him. Some people say, well, Christianity, it's a nice thing, but it's really not true. Really? Have you ever really examined, if you're someone like that, have you ever really examined the resurrection story? This Jesus who died on the cross was raised again on the third day, and that was God's stamp of approval, his affirmation, as if to say everything he said or done for you is absolutely true. This Jesus life is a life that is filled with truth. And you look at the people that sometimes run into him and say, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. I recently was listening to a friend of mine tell his story. He was a businessman who dealt with in high-end automobiles. Back in the late 70s, his business was really struggling, and he was losing about $26,000 a month, he was telling us. He said, at that time, he said, I was afraid so much that I was going to lose everything, and I was afraid to tell my wife this. I was afraid to let my kids know that I was failing. He said, my life was really a mess, and to try to keep myself confident, I drank a lot of scotch to try to cover the fear. He said, but one day, I just couldn't do it anymore. So I went down to my business competitor down the road and walked into his office with my files and my papers and asked him to help me. The man looked at me from behind his desk and said, my wife and I have been praying for you for the past year that you would come in and visit with me. Rob said, I was absolutely stunned, but not any more stunned than when I remember the picture, he said, of 2 hours later, I was on my knees in that man's office with him, asking Jesus Christ into my life. And he said, nothing's been the same since. It's been an adventure, as Jesus has again and again shown me who I am and the gifts that he's that I'm wired with, that he's been able to use to his glory. And he said, life has gotten very exciting ever since that time with Jesus. A satisfied sheep, if you ask me. I was talking recently with some of the college young people in my congregation, explaining to them that there was a time in my life when I had strayed away from Jesus. I really thought I could run my own life. I didn't need that religious stuff anymore. You know how it is when you go off from home and you get independent and you want to run your own life. I said, but it came to a place in my life after about a year and a half where I was just bone dry and as empty as could be. And it was then that someone pointed me in the direction of that Savior, Jesus, again. And I made that turnaround. And as I pleaded with them that day to turn around and come home to him, if that's what's happening in your life, so I also, if there's anyone listening into this broadcast today, appeal to you as a pastor, as one who loves Jesus and loves the people that he serves. Come home. This Jesus came to give you a life. And my appeal this day is choose life. Choose Jesus. He knows what can make your life work. At this time, if you really would like to take that first step back home, or even, let's say, re-up with him for another new year, I have a little prayer I would encourage you to pray with me today. If you bow your heads, you can pray it with me, listening in with me. You can say your amen to it at the end. It's the last verse of that old Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, but it's been personalized. Would you pray with me if you want Christ? O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. I hear those Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to me, abide in me, O Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you're looking for a next step, you write into us. We'll be glad to get you going again on the trail with Jesus Christ. God bless you and have a happy new year with Christ. Amen.
Life for
Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's program has helped you choose life. Choose life with Jesus Christ. If you joined us in Reverend Kramer's prayer today and would like further help concerning your faith walk with Jesus, we invite you to write to us at P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you may call our office toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry devoted to guiding the lives of our listening audience to a closer walk with Jesus Christ through God's holy word. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry. If you care also to contribute financially to continue making the broadcast possible, please send your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. All contributions are tax deductible. If you would like a CD or printed copy of today's message, please write to us at P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call our office at 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, you can call 277-0924. We are pleased you chose to worship with us today and pray that you'll be with us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth for the past 77 years.